Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show for Friday, News Radio 1070, WKOK. We've got a jam-packed show as we head for the weekend. Sean here and Steve, as we speak, heading into the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Always here on the Steve Jones Show on Fridays, we're sponsored by Brewers Outlet, the beverage super stocked superstore. Reagan Street in Sunbury, great specials going on through the weekend and into Tuesday. Yingling Lager, 24-pack cans, $15.99. Moosehead, 12-pack cans, $9.95. And Spiked Seltzer, 12-pack cans, $12.95. Stock up on all your favorites, imports, domestics, microbrews, sodas, snacks, water, and of course the fresh roasted peanuts and the pickle bar. You got it, second to none, all with Corey and the crew at Brewers Outlet, the beverage super stocked superstore on Reagan Street in Sunbury. So we got a super packed show. Of course, we'll wrap things up after 4:30 with Steve's brother, Kevin Jones. Kev will check in from Connecticut. Actually, we got two Kevins next hour. And no, the other one is not Kevin the Suit Her. We have Kevin Fransden, the analyst for the Phillies Baseball Network. He was scheduled to join us on Wednesday. We have him lined up for 4:06 this afternoon. We'll get his take on yesterday's very impressive opening day matchup with the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. Three homers out of the park for the Fightins as they defeated the Atlanta Braves 10-4. They'll pick up that series tomorrow afternoon, and then a primetime matchup at 7:05 on Sunday night. Of course, we'll have both of them here on 1070 AM. Also, coming up later this hour, we've got former Penn Stater, former NFL player Devin Still. Of course, we know Devin's daughter's inspirational story, her courageous battle with cancer, licked it, beat it. Last check, she had a scan earlier this year. She is still free and clear, and also Devin and his wife received some very, very good news not too long ago. So we'll talk to Devin about that. Of course, he is author of the book Still in the Game. You can check out devinstillinthegame.com for information on Devin's books. We look forward to Steve's conversation with Devin coming up at 3:35 live here on WKOK. So we're a little over 2 weeks away from the Blue-White game. That'll be a kickoff just after 3 on Saturday, April 13th here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And one of the great Penn State beat writers we like to get here on the show is Frank Bodani. Frank checks in from the York Daily Record.
Hey, happy spring to you, man.
Yeah, happy spring. Renewal means Penn State's football spring practice, not baseball.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what I'm focused on.
I mean, look, if it's a nice day, the crowd at Beaver Stadium is going to outdraw the Alliance of American Football. All the games combined.
Yeah.
Okay, so for you, primary focus, what? Give me a couple areas that are primary focus for you.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of people, and James Franklin's been talking about safety, defensive tackle. I think they start with those two. I probably would add wide receiver and quarterback a little bit to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the first two positions that he's been talking about, he was asked about on Wednesday. He was asked about at the first spring press conference. That holds true because anymore it seems like the teams that are going to the playoffs, their defensive line, first of all, is dominant.
Right.
And I think Penn State has that potential. They've shown some of that, especially on the edge, but can they do it up front? Can they stop the elite teams from running the ball? Can they put pressure up front? And I think they need maybe a little more depth to, first of all. I mean, they got maybe three guys there that you're looking at, but how successful. I mean, you need more bodies that can. Right now, Penn State still needs to prove that. Same, you know, and on the offensive line, I would almost say the same thing, because I think everybody's looking at the offensive line as being, hey, we know who everybody is going to be a strength, but then half the guys took off. So
right. Yeah, and then I wasn't surprised by Bates. I mean, I think everyone in August, I in August thought that it probably might be his last year, because I mean, he's put a lot into it and he's put himself in a good spot. McGovern's a one more setback. I went, oh, really? He must have received a good grade. But now you've got to overcome that. Obviously, C.J. Thorpe played on defense last year. Now he's back on offense. And then Mike Miranda started, and I thought played pretty well in the Maryland game. And then there's Walker, who played a couple of times during the season but didn't play four. Are those some of the guys you're looking at right away as potential guys to step up and get a lot of snaps?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I'm glad C.J. Thorpe is back on the offensive line. I think I like to see him there. I think his potential is greater there for him and for the team, because it seems like Penn State's offensive line, the one thing they might still be lacking or have been lacking is that attitude, or they're just going to crush somebody up front.
Right.
And I think CJ might be able to bring that. and the other thing is that, hey, it's reality. It's college football in this day and age. It's a young man's, young person's game, meaning you got to go with your second and third year players, because there's no guarantee anymore that the juniors and seniors or the fourth and fifth year guys are even going to come back. Because that's just not the way college football seems to work anymore. So you can't rely on that. You can't be upset that all those guys took off, because that's just the reality, I think, anymore.
Right.
So I think Penn State has a lot of young guys. You know, the hardest thing on offensive line, I guess, is that might be the most difficult position to say, we know these recruits are coming in and they're going to do this in a couple of years and be on a play. It's a hard position, I think, to recruit in and know exactly what you're getting.
I agree.
Until you see it out there. And I think Penn State fans have been just a little bit disappointed in the offensive line the past several years. You keep hearing James Franklin say, we're better than we were last year up front. It's going, you know, and I think it's probably true, but it maybe hasn't shown as much as people want yet.
Right. No, I agree. Sean Clifford played a lot in the blue-white game last year, and he did, and he played, obviously, in a couple of games this past year, including the Citrus Bowl at one point. How interested are you in his development in combination with really getting a good long look at a guy like Will Levis?
Well, I mean, you definitely need two quarterbacks no matter what, because that second guy is, especially if you're starter, could be like Trace or Tommy Stevens, where they're running the football. I mean, they opened you up to any type of injury.
Sure.
So the second guy's got to be ready. And really, you know, I think you mostly would feel better if you had a third guy. I think Penn State's in a good spot with that. I mean, if Tommy can stay healthy, if he can be everything people think he could be as a starter but also stay healthy, then I think Penn State's in a real good spot, because then you got the potential of three guys, no matter how it would shake up in the order.
Right.
You know, and you'd like to go with Tommy first, but I think but all of a sudden, you know, it puts a lot more pressure, though, if for, you know, his leg or ankle or whatever it is, if it just doesn't stay right. But you know what? The thing is, Tommy played all last season in pain, so I think he's going to probably be able to go unless you have to cart him off. I think he's like Trace McSorley in the way that very, very tough guy. The more I look at Tommy Stevens, it's interesting. The last Penn State quarterback who got their first big shot as a senior, would have been Michael Robinson.
Yes.
And yet he did play some. He started some games in 03, I'm pretty sure. But you know, it's interesting. I mean, I don't know if people really would compare Michael to Tommy, but they do have some similar attributes in that they're bigger runners. When they decide to do that, tough guys, they're bigger than Trace was when he's running the football, and they can have some impact to them. They're unproven guys. You know, a lot of people doubted Michael as a quarterback going into that last year because he didn't put up the numbers in for it. Same with, I think, Tommy. So, and you know, and I think they both have maybe raw arms, but I think Tommy could be a better thrower than what people think. If he just has to have a shot.
Right, exactly right. What do you think of all the changes? This is a different time for college football. Transfer portals, obviously, you mentioned earlier about players in the draft. What is that doing, do you think, to the sport, in your opinion?
Well, I tell you, I think it makes it harder on fans. I mean, because it's, you see this in all sports, but it's harder to get an allegiance and to understand who your team is and to know, like, I think fans like to know, hey, we got this guy.
Yes.
He's going to be here for 2-3 years. We can plan ahead. This is what we're looking forward to. And I think, like, with the offensive line, when you have the kind of rug pulled from under you as a fan, and it's just the fan. I'm not talking about what's good for the players.
Exactly.
It's harder, I think. It makes it more difficult. You know, I think part of the fun of being a fan is that whole planning thing.
Yes.
And I think they look at it like James is a great recruiter and to build this town and stockpile it and be ready. And 2019 is going to be our year because of this. And it just gives something fans to look forward to.
Right, and this is where I was talking with a group. I actually talked to two groups this week, and I brought this up in each speech when they were talking about wrestling. You know, and I think, look, what wrestling's done here is incredible. I'm trying to do this as a matter of fact thing to take the emotion out of it. The advantage Cale Sanderson has over the hockey coach, the basketball coach, and the football coach is that in his sport, there's nowhere to go. So because there's nowhere to go, a fan can count on, okay, these are the guys, you know, that are going to be coming back. Nick Lee is not going to be going to the put his name into the wrestling draft and suddenly get drafted by Oklahoma City. It's not going to happen. He's coming back. Meanwhile, Tony Carr goes to the draft. 5 Penn State football starters go to the draft. Hockey lost 3 or 4 guys off of last year's team that went and started playing pro hockey trying to get to the NHL. And for fans, this, you know, they knew John Cappelletti wasn't leaving. It's not like that anymore.
I think the positive, I guess, for Penn State is to confront that, you need a very aggressive recruiting staff because you're going to always have to reload to the. I mean, so at least Penn State has that going for them right now. I think that makes it a little bit easier. It's just. You're always dealing with, and fans are always like, well, is this new guy going to be able to prove himself?
Right.
How many new guys are going to have to prove themselves? And when your talent isn't quite like Clemson, that's a big crapshoot for everybody. Or Ohio State. I think Penn State's talent is just a lovely some of those top-tier teams. And then I understand because they don't, you know, they can't build to what, to know Miles Sanders is coming back for his senior year.
Right.
Or Sharif Miller. You know, it's can the young guy who's never done it before, they're relying on way more of them now. So I guess your talent has to be – everything's speeded up, sped up, whatever the right word is. I guess I should know. But
well, what the interesting part about that is it really puts a premium, and this has actually been a strength for James, really puts a premium on player development. You've got to be able to get it done quickly.
And plan ahead. Like, they're bringing Hunter in the country because they know Blake Gilligan's leaving, and they're going to try to impress the heck out of him because they know that that position, a guy can step in right away, but they need the best to step in right away.
Exactly.
Plan 2 years ahead. And I like the aggressive. I mean, and, you know, the bottom line is, you depend on Pennsylvania and even Delmarva, right?
No.
For all your recruits. So to have a connection to Florida, you got to have a presence in these other places because you got to be able to get enough talent right away that next year, and you can't do it by going with your natural recruiting grounds. I don't know if anybody can.
Well, you have to go where the talent is. And if it turns out that you can get half of your talent in your state in a particular year, great. If it turns out there's a year that you can only maybe get 10 to 25% of your talent from your state, then you're going to have to find the other 75% someplace else. You have to go where it is. And these guys have done a great job, I think, of branching that out. Because, I mean, look, even Joe did that. Remember, all they started getting into South Carolina. They dabbled a bit in Florida because they were going where the talent was.
Yeah, and this year is the strongest year in forever in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area. But there's no guarantee that Penn State's going to be able to choose every guy. They're not going to be able to because, you know, Alabama's coming up and Clemson's emerging.
Yes.
So they're still south. They're not as far south. So they're more of an attraction to guys in Maryland and Virginia, too. So you're going to have to go even outside of that. Just because this is the greatest talent year in that area where Penn State's close to, they're still going to have to go outside. I think people are concerned because they don't have all these commitments yet, but there's a lot more competition, and it's not, you know, like the schools we just mentioned. They're in Ohio State. They're all in that area in Baltimore and Maryland and D.C. and Northern Virginia.
Just so you know that they're always concerned.
Sure, of course.
No matter what, they're always concerned. I'm really worried about this. It's okay. Go about your life. It'll be good.
Well, and you know what? I think the other part is that James got things going quicker than a lot of people did. But when you the near misses are painful to fans, I think.
Right.
Doesn't matter how quick you if you got there quicker than you should have, the near misses are painful, I think, to people.
No question. I agree completely. Frank, it's always a pleasure. It's great to hear you on the other end. That means it's good news.
Yeah.
It's time to start talking more football.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, same here, Frank. Thanks so much.
Take care.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, Devin's still next half hour. Kevin Franzen, and then the King. And Sean, I have some news for the King today.
Anything to do with his birthday earlier this week, or something different?
It's something different.
Oh, okay.
I have actually news for him. And you're going to have to wait for the news as well.
I will wait.
Yes. All right. So some news for the King today.
I will not badger you during the commercial breaks. Won't do that.
I usually leave anyway. So
so that's the one thing that hasn't changed since the last producer on this show. Okay.
No. Well, no, that was the last one was just to buy me inner peace. This one's usually to go and get a snack,
right,
or something. That was I need some peace. I'd walk outside for 5 minutes, come back in.
That's true. The door is just around the corner.
It is just around the corner, indeed. All right. So yesterday, I'm looking at maybe buying a lawn tractor, like a John Deere.
Okay.
So I go over and I'm looking at them. And not only do I want to get one, obviously, to cut the lawn, but I also want to get one. And to me, this is actually a bigger issue. You know the number of trees I have in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which means I usually have to go out 7 or 8 times during the course of a fall, and a lot of times on Sundays. And there's been a few times where before Saturday games, I've been out here raking the yard. So I want to get something that's a bagger to throw on it. That way I can just get on the thing, hop around, boom, boom, boom. That's actually a bigger issue to me than cutting the lawn. A much bigger issue. Well, I said, hey, by the way, do you guys have I said, does this one come with a wagon attachment? He said, absolutely. And he showed me the area where the pin would go in. He showed me where the pin is. And then he's showing me the wagon. Because, obviously, with the wood, because we have a wood stove, I want to be able to haul the wood back and use the tractor to do that. Okay? And he says, you know, and it detaches, and you can use it like a wheelbarrow. And I said, my man, if I'm spending money on that thing right there to get that, I said, there'll be no pushing of that. I said, the reason I'm getting these two is that they work together. He looked at me, started laughing. He says, "That's a really good point."
We'll never be detached.
I say, "Excuse me. If I'm buying that, there'll be no pushing." When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Did Lawrence say they're doing a primer on the Democratic presidential candidates?
Must be getting an early start.
That's a 50-part series. I got primer. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Specials between now and Tuesday: Yingling Lager, 24-pack cans, $15.99. Moosehead, 12-pack cans, $9.95. Spiked seltzer. Spike just the way Sean would spike it. 12-pack cans, $12.95. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Let's say it all together now. Second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. In the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and very pleased to bring in one of our favorites, indeed one of the all-time greats in Penn State football history. When you start looking at the great players that played here, Devin Still, who has written a book. It's an important book and a great read, Still in the Game. Dev, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be back.
It's great to have you. All right. There's always an inspiration to write a book.
Right.
How difficult actually was it to write compared to what you thought the experience might be like?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I really had no want in writing a book. I was actually inspired after I got injured with the Texans and I had foot surgery. You know, I was falling in and out of sleep because of the pain medicine that I was on. And when I woke up one day, I saw Oprah on TV interviewing Jack Canfield about Chicken Soup for the Soul. And Jack was talking about how,
yes,
you know, yep, he always told those short stories in his book to inspire people to overcome their struggles. And I was just inspired in that moment to, you know, share my testimony, things that I went through before Penn State, at Penn State, and with my daughter to help people, you know, have a playbook to get off the sidelines and get back into the game of life.
You've had so many great moments as a player. I mean, I could sit here. Obviously, I called every play of your Penn State career. But there's also been, obviously, the tough moments, and we all know about, everybody knows about Leah. But with the injuries and so forth, what have you been able to, what did it take you to concentrate more on the positive moments as opposed to what could easily be a woe is me and concentrate on the negative moments?
Right, but I think that life is all about perspective, right? You can either think that things are happening against you or happening for you. And I chose to look at each and every injury that I faced as an opportunity for growth, for me to find out what I needed in order to, you know, advance to the next level or advance to the next step. So every time that I faced an injury in my life, I use it as a way to grow me mentally, physically, and spiritually, and it ended up paying off for me when my daughter got diagnosed with cancer, because all the lessons I learned overcoming all those injuries that I faced at Penn State is what I used, you know, to help my daughter overcome this battle with cancer.
There's no question about that. And, of course, you're the one that came up with the idea before the Nebraska game that instead of running through the tunnel, you would march out linked arms together. What inspired you to do that and to come up with that idea in such a short period of time?
I remember just sitting on my couch of my off-campus apartment, and I remember just watching downtown, you know, break out in frustration, and students were going crazy. And I just knew, as, you know, the leader of the Penn State football program, that a lot of people in that community looked to the football program for answers. And I felt like we needed to do something to symbolize to everybody that we needed to stick together during this tough time as a community. And I felt that if we walked out that tunnel locking arms, that was going to show everybody that we wasn't going to waver in the face of adversity, that we were going to stick together and find a way to overcome.
When you get to the pros, you have certain expectations.
Mm-hmm.
How long, you know, when various things happen, did you hit those why me moments, and then what allowed you to overcome why me?
You know, the biggest why me moment I had was during my rookie season, because I don't know if a lot of people know it or not, because it wasn't really publicized, but when we got handed down the Ticket City Bowl during my senior year, the original plan was for the team to boycott the bowl game because we felt like we got slighted because of everything that was happening with the program. And I ended up talking the team into going to the bowl because I felt like that would be the wrong thing to do for the university, is just to give up because we wasn't treated fairly. I thought that that would send the wrong message to the university that it's okay to give up during a trying time. And, you know, I ended up getting injured when I was down there at the bowl game. A lot of people in my corner
I remember when this happened, because, look, Penn State should have had the Outback Bowl is what they should have had.
Right.
And instead they got shoved to this bowl in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. And then I remember you getting hurt, and I remember saying to Jack Hamm, I said, of all the things to happen, I said, this guy just needs to get through this to get to the draft.
yeah, exactly. So I ended up breaking my toe during practice down there. And I actually blew out my back in warm-ups before the Ohio State game. So I was dealing with a lot of injuries, and that carried over to my training for the combine and stuff like that. And I never really bounced back from those injuries during my senior year. And I often questioned, you know, why that had to happen to me. If I tried to step up and do what was right as a leader and, you know, do what was right for the university, how did this happen to me? But I think that's just a part of, you know, being a leader, that you have to put your constituents and the people you're leading before your own personal gains. And, you know, I don't regret any moment of it.
I believe that you can correct me on this. I think Leah was born when you were still here at Penn State, correct?
Yep, my junior year.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I can remember her being, I think you brought her to a banquet and I saw her. When it happens with her, who did you lean on? You know, you had to lean on yourself, to lean on your faith, but was there somebody else that you leaned on that really helped you get through it?
Yeah, definitely my wife, because she was the only person with me in Cincinnati. You know, a lot of people saw what I was going through on the cameras or during my interviews, but nobody really knows what I was going through behind, you know, closed doors, except for my wife. And she was able, you know, to help carry me through those dark times and just reminded me that I wasn't going through this alone, that she was going to be with me every step of the way, and we were going to make it through this dark time.
And part of that dark time is, and look, I can relate in some way, it's not cancer, but I had a son born with spina bifida, so he had a lot of, you know, he had a lot of surgeries and twists, turns along the way, and a lot of appointments that had to take place, things that people would not know about. that means people don't realize the number of items you had to go through, the number of appointments you had to go through. What was that like for you? And you know, and you talked about getting through it together, but what carried you over there? Because not all the news was always going to be good news.
Just my belief and my faith that we were going to be able to, you know, pull through this. I knew that, you know, with the amount of bad news we were getting from these doctors, I knew what would happen if we gave up, right? That my daughter wouldn't get better and she'll eventually succumb to this disease. But I didn't know what could happen if we would continue to fight, you know, through those hard times. But I knew that it was better than giving up. I knew that if we continued to fight, then there's a possibility my daughter may be able to beat this disease. But if we gave up right then and there, then she would have no chance. So just having faith, or, you know, the ability to look ahead of time and see that we had a light at the end of the tunnel, we continued to fight, is what pushed me.
When you're playing the game, Devin, you can control what you're doing out there. You know you can beat that man in front of you at the line of scrimmage, which I watched you do many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
How helpless, though, did you feel in this situation because you couldn't control it?
I felt extremely helpless. I knew that we couldn't control what the treatments would do for my daughter's cancer, but I understood that we could control the attitude that we took during this fight. That's why a lot of times people were following me on social media. They could see us smiling all the time or having fun in our videos, because I always learned, you know, from the moment I started playing football, that the moment you stop having fun playing a game, then you already lost. And I just took that approach to this fight with cancer. I felt like if we allowed cancer to control our emotions and how we handled, you know, everyday life, then we had already lost the battle. So I made it a point that we were going to continue to have fun regardless of our circumstances, and I think that that positive attitude is what carried us through the battle.
And you mentioned as we started this out about the Texans getting hurt and obviously the issues you had to go through there. Is that the attitude that carried you through that, or did you have to remember that attitude?
No, the funny thing is when I ended up getting hurt and I had foot surgery, I was still walking around with a smile on my face, and my wife thought I was crazy, and she ended up calling my dad asking, you know, what's going on with him? Is he holding this stuff, his emotions inside, because he's so frustrated and he's just trying to walk around with a smile? But, you know, what I really thought to myself is I was already in a dark place just a couple of months before I ended up having foot surgery, and we were able to make it through that dark time. So to me, you know, I'm a big man of faith, and if God already proved to me that, you know, he can get me through those dark times, I still kept a smile on my face because I knew that regardless of how much this hurt, that I made it back, you know, from my daughter having cancer to now getting injured again, I knew that there would be something great that comes of this.
Positive attitude and smiles on the face, even though you're going through tough times. Is the smile on the face today legitimate because times are good?
The smile on my face is legitimate because my daughter's still here, to be completely honest with you. It doesn't really matter what I go through, you know, right now in my life. As long as I still have my daughter, you know, around me, as long as I'm still able to tuck her in the bed every day or wake up and hear her call me dad or hug her and kiss her, then life is always going to be good. Anything else is just a bonus.
And how is she feeling right now?
She's doing good. She just turned 4 years in remission on the 25th, so we got to fight one more year in order to get to that cancer-free mark in the medical world, but we already live our life like she's cancer-free now.
You've come back for Thon, too. What has it meant to see events like that happen and the fact that your alma mater has been a big sponsor in that?
It means everything. You know, it really made me realize how important the work we were doing when we were at Penn State was. Because a lot of the times we would take these families on tours inside the football building just to show them a day in the life of a Penn State football player. But one of the biggest regrets that I had during that time, not really sitting down with the families and talking to them and actually finding out what they were really going through. So when my daughter was thrown into that fight and I knew firsthand what it's like for families to battle childhood cancer, it really made me realize just how important the philanthropic work that Penn State does for childhood cancer is.
In the book, Still in the Game,
when you were done with it, what did you learn about yourself just by writing it? Because that can be obviously be therapeutic. What did you learn about yourself in it when the book was done? Say, you know what? I'm really glad I did it because I learned this.
Number one is I look back and was like, man, I've been through a lot. I never realized how much I've been through until I really sat down and documented it. But the biggest thing I learned, and I try to tell this to people all the time when I have my speaking engagement, so many times when we're going through tough times in our life, we look to the external for help, to help us get through whatever obstacles we're going through. But I learned throughout all of my struggles in my life that everything I needed to overcome my struggles was deep inside of me, that everything that I had been through in my life was preparing me to overcome whatever I faced in the future. And the moment I allowed myself to be still and just sit back and look at, you know, how I've been able to grow, all the lessons I've been able to learn, I realized that people in general, you all have what it takes to overcome, you know, whatever struggles you're going through. Sometimes you just have to sit down, allow yourself to be still, and look on the inside for the answers.
And that was going to be my last question. If I were to sit down with a group of a couple of people who are unemployed, not easy. A couple of people at Boston Children's Hospital, not easy. You know, what advice would you give them? Because now your life experience has allowed you to dole out advice. So what would that be?
Let them know that they're still in the game. It doesn't matter what they're facing. It doesn't matter what obstacles are in front of them. They still have a chance to overcome and make their comeback, no matter what they're going through, because there's still time on the clock. You just have to make the decision to get off the sidelines and get back into the game.
It's DevinStillInTheGame.com. DevinStillInTheGame.com. And the book is Still in the Game, which I'm privileged that I have a copy and was able to read a copy of it. It is outstanding, and I appreciate the fact that you gave us time today, Dev. It's always great to see you when I get that chance to.
I appreciate it, Steve.
All right. My best to you, everybody, Leah, our best. Thanks a lot for the time today. It was great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, we'll come back. Boy, that was great. Devin Still, great to hear him. What a journey. What a journey. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet. Devin Still's golf tournament for, the Still Foundation is going to be at Tawtrees on Monday, August 15th, the Monday after the Blue-White game. It'll tee off at 9 in the morning at Tawtrees. So check that out. Give Tawtrees a call about that. See if you can get yourself registered, get a team in there to help out with the Still Foundation on Monday, April the 15th.
You can go to stillstrongfoundation.org for that. And also you can email Trish at stillstrongfoundation.org, T-R-I-S-H, at stillstrongfoundation.org, and devinstillinthegame.com for the book.
Yep, and tee off at 9 at Tawtrees. I actually went out and played golf yesterday, so got 9 holes in. Yeah, played the back 9 of the white course yesterday.
Now we know spring's here, finally.
I shot 41. I did. I was like, really? First hole I played, I parred.
You did not sound optimistic when we talked about that after the show on Wednesday.
Well, ball's rolling in the hole in the first hole to par. I was like, take that, suit.
He's on our team, don't forget. Well, maybe on the front 9. On the back 9, he may not be at the birdie tournament. So. Depends if that transaction goes down.
Let me put it this way. There's a trading deadline in baseball.
And this one's approaching, too.
At least the guys they trade in baseball go to spring training and they work to get to that point. I mean, come on. Our guy won't even go out. Won't even go out. I mean, Dave Ritchie, he'll go out. He'll play some rounds. I mean, obviously, Craig will be in mid-season form. I'm expecting to be in mid-season form. The heck? And then Senior Slice gets out there. You want to talk about the ability to throw the curveball, throw the hook? And now he has a bridge. Now he has a bridge named after him.
Yeah.
So it's like it's unbelievable.
He's a bridge burner.
But that'll be
not a worm burner, a bridge burner.
No. And we mentioned Devin's foundation, Devin Stills' foundation, April 15th at Tough Trees. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is going to be on Wednesday, May 8th, and we're doing the show on the 7th at Penn's Tavern. That's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that.
We are.
First of all, I love the food there. Let's start with the food. Thinking about that, that'll be a lot of fun. Next half hour, Kevin Franzen. The Phillies are on track to be 162-0. They booed Bryce Harper after he struck out a second time. That's the first game of a 13-year contract. They booed him. Oh. We're a city of high expectations. Did you see what Eli Manning wrote about the 9-year-old kid at the link? Did you see that? He said, that kid said a couple of words to me. I had to go look up. he said, that place is different. Yeah.
I guess he figured, I'm going to wear these Fanatics shoes and no one will boo me. Well.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, keep on walking him. We got Reese Hoskins coming up right afterwards. It's all good.
Well, there's an old saying, you win 54, you lose 54. It's what you do in the other 54 that tells you what kind of season you had. You know what the Red Sox were in the other 54 last year? 54-0.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.